Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
No! I was sitting there wishing I was playing a game or playing with my cars or something else. But it was starting to steal in something in me that was going to be beneficial to me later on in my life. Now, y'all just bear with me. I'm going to take my time today. So I went through a rebellious stage in my life. On my way to school, Amber, I'd pull out my Bon Jovi bandana. Boy, I thought I was cool, man. I'd pull out that bandana when my mom would let me out, and I'd put it around my leg. Because I had on my parachute pants. Anybody know what parachute pants are? They're a pair of really looking, stupid looking pants with about 1,000 zippers all over them. Boy, I thought I was cool, man. I had my bandana Bon Jovi, my AC/DC shirt that I had hidden up under another, and I'd take it off because I'm going to be rebellious for a little bit. I'm going to show that I rock out for Jesus. So I went through this stage of rebellious just a little bit. But during that time, I can assure you, Karen, I didn't feel right doing it. The whole time I was doing it, I knew it was wrong. The whole time I was doing it, I knew, you know, it ain't the shirt, it ain't the bandana, it's the attitude, it's the spirit. I'm being rebellious. There's a lot of people here in this house right now, under the sound of my voice, you know good and well you're being rebellious. You just ain't wanting to admit it. It's easy to blame the devil and everybody else, but it's hard to blame yourself. And so I went and I got married to a wonderful woman, got married into a great family, began to evangelize, get on the evangelistic field, see the churches, see the country, see revival, see people healed of all different kinds of things. Only when I settled down in Meridian, later on in my life, did I begin to realize that there was a spirit that had creeped in on me, and I shooed it away. I didn't think too much about it, brother and sister, too, because it ain't really nothing. And I'll tell you what it is, and when you find out what it is, you're going to say, well, my goodness, I'm going to be really transparent with you here today. Don't get nervous. But every one of us has faced this spirit. Everybody in this building has faced this spirit. LaWanna, this wall is about to drive me up a wall. So there were times that I began to wonder, God, why am I not moving forward? How come, God, I can't break through this thing that I'm fighting in my life? How come, God, I can't rise above these thoughts, Trey? How come I can't overcome some of these things, these battles that I keep, that keeps reoccurring in my life? And about 2 weeks ago, I began to think about the word, everybody say mediocrity. Say mediocre. Yeah, yeah. Did you know the Bible talks about mediocre? It does. And what is so sad is mediocre being lukewarm. Everybody say lukewarm. Here's what's so scary about that is that it doesn't seem so wrong, Trey. But if we're not careful, it'll send us straight to hell. We can come to church, Amber. We can come every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday night, and every Thursday night. We can be here. We can have a move of God. But what happens is we don't surrender everything to God. And what lukewarm says, God, I'm only going to give you half of my love. Lukewarm says, God, I'm only going to give you half of my faith, if that. Lukewarm says, God, I love the world and desire more of the world than I do your presence and my experience with you. But Lord, I'm going to go ahead and come to church and listen to Pastor Pierce preach. And I'm going to go through emotion, Sister Marianne. I'm going to clap my hands and I may even do a jig every once in a while up at the front. But don't mistake that for me surrendering everything to you, because truly I am not. Because I'm lukewarm. How many of you have ever started something and you halfway did it? Come on. Come on. How many of you have been faced with a decision, but you didn't know really whether you should do it or not, so you just kind of halfway did something? Many of us like to have a hot coffee. We get hot coffee in the morning time. Some of you like hot coffee. Some of you may like hot tea. But I can grant you not very many people, Sister Pierce, like a lukewarm drink. Matter of fact, a lot of people, if they get a lukewarm drink, they say, hey, waiter, waitress, come here. This is lukewarm and I wanted some hot coffee. Give me something hot. Or give me something cold. This drink that I want has, it's got, it don't have no ice. I want it cold. It's too lukewarm. Yeah. Yeah, one or the other. Maybe you've been faced with a decision about school or about your job or about your family. But there is one decision that we should not be so lackadaisical on. And Brother Hollis, that is, we cannot sit on the fence when it comes to our relationship with Christ. It ain't going to work. A relationship, no matter what it is, Sister Two, takes commitment. I don't think LaJuan and I would be married 32 years if I gave her half of my heart. If I looked at our relationship as it's all about me and not about her, it wouldn't work, because God says when we become one. There is a wholeness that happens. There is a fullness, a completion. Everybody say a completion that happens whenever we are married. And so I can't give her just half of my heart or half of my love or half of my attention. She deserves all of me. Yeah, don't you think God deserves that and more? Yeah, God deserves that and more. Jesus has already offered us salvation. He's given us everything. And yet we come to church and we can't, thank you, Brother Brian, I'm about to burn up. But yet we can't get God everything. Some of you say you've been saved for 30 years, yet you come in here and you have the same worldly pleasures and you still have the same worldly thoughts and you still believe the same. And even then, you come in here and you shout and you carry on and you read your Word of God, yet you still believe some of the things the world says is right when it's wrong according to the Word of God. Woo! My God, clap your hands unto the Lord. So it's amazing when God begins to speak to you. Because, Brother Pierce, God began to deal with me about myself. I can't come up with a message just out of the thin air. I got to have Trey God speak to me. And I want him to talk to me about me. Because what is it? What good is it to gain the whole world, Sister Pierce, and lose my own soul? What is it to have perfect health, yet I die and go to hell? My God, we've got it all backwards. Some of you are sitting here under the sound of my voice and you are ripped with paranoid and panic attacks and anxiety attacks when you're sitting here so lukewarm. And God is saying, if you will just give me everything, I will give you everything. As a Christian, we may fall into a lukewarm lifestyle if we're not careful. And perhaps our passion and our fire for Christ has died down, and we do not make an effort to grow spiritually. Our pastor preaches some of the most amazing messages. And he'll get up here a lot of times and say, no, I'm not a three-point message. Thank you, Brother Pierce. I'm glad you ain't. Because he walks in a different realm. And yes, I'm lifting up my pastor just for a little bit. Because he walks in a different realm than you and I walk into. It doesn't make him better than you and me. It doesn't say that God cannot speak to you. But he is our leader. Now, with that being said, how many times are we going to come and sit on these pews and not let that word change us? And the reason why it's not changing, because we're lukewarm. We're comfortable where we are. There's a danger in being lukewarm. The concept of a lukewarm Christian comes from Revelation 3. where Jesus criticizes a church for being full of believers who were neither hot nor cold. Not cold, dead, or unbelieving, but not on fire for Jesus either. And if you will do, put Revelation, the third verse, third chapter up there, verse 16. And to the angel of the church, Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faith and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will. So everybody say, I will. That means you can bank that it ain't going to be a might so, maybe so. It is going to happen, baby doll. I promise you. And the Lord said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Whoa. You mean to tell me that I can come up in this place dressed in a full suit, a full tie, look like the preacher of all preachers, and because I've got a spirit of lukewarmness and I refuse to change, that God's going to vomit me out of the mouth? You mean to tell me I can be the music director at the Revival Center and the Lord's going to vomit me out of his mouth? You better believe it. You better believe it. You better be listening to what God's trying to tell us today. So, as God began to speak to you on this, I was on the phone with my dad the other day. My dad's been going through some stuff physically. One thing after another. And I've seen his faith rise into a place that I never thought could be risen to. But in the midst of all this the other day, he says, Sean, I want to talk to you about something. I said, yeah, what is it, Dad? He goes, it's about being lukewarm. Brian, it's amazing when God speaks to us. Because it was right then I knew, uh-oh, God, you've already been talking to me about being mediocre. What are you trying to tell me, Lord? What are you trying to tell me? And my dad said, Sean, it's this that I want to tell you. We've heard heaven and hell issues. We've heard heaven and hell messages. If you continue in adultery, you're going to hell. If you continue, but he goes, how many times have we heard if you're being mediocre, and you don't stop it, you're going to go to hell? All right. Yeah. Trey, I want more from God. Yeah. Hey, I want to come in this place, and we've got good people, so don't take it that I'm glad I'm stepping on your toes, but don't think that I'm trying to beat you up purposely. But I'm talking to myself. I'm looking at myself in the mirror right now saying, hey, I may be part of the Pierce family. I may be a part of the ministry team. But I have fallen into a lukewarmness. That's why we can't break through into a revival. He basically said, I like hot coffee and cold brew, but it's room temp that I cannot stand. I want to spew it out of my mouth. Lukewarm Christians are those people who sit in churches and believe the message of the gospel, but are not really sold out to Jesus and not meaningfully engaged in his mission. Yeah. Let me tell you this, people. The pew is not enough. Coming and sitting on the pew is not going to be enough. I can assure you of that. Turn to Matthew the 25th. Go to Matthew 25 if you can. I've got so much notes, I am not going to make it through every one of them today. But in Matthew 25, the first verse and 13. Sister Pierce, can you get that for me? Luana, get a mic. Everybody say amen. I like good response. Hallelujah. Is this okay? Brother Kevin, it's so good to have y'all. I'm so glad to have my former West Texas family. Aren't you glad you ain't there no more? Hallelujah. Mom, Dad, I love you, but praise the Lord. And don't worry, God's got a word for you. You didn't travel all this way for nothing, I can assure you. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. These are the maidens. They consider themselves friends of the bridegroom. But they don't live in the way that anticipates his return. They are thinking only about how to make things comfortable in the present moment, not how to be faithful in their assignment to God. There were five that was willing to go all the way. I can't say that all five of them felt like it. They may not have had, but they felt, they knew that they had to do this. This was an assignment that I had to meet God. And I had to be ready. My question to you today is, are you ready? Have you made every effort? Have you done everything in your power to make sure you're right with God? Go to verse 14 through 30. This will be the longest reading that we've done, but we're going to get it through it, okay? Amazing, ain't it? Amazing. One considers himself the employee of the master, but he's never offered his talents without reserve for the kingdom. And something about that scripture puzzled me, Amber, is that in this parable of the talents, Jesus called the one who buried his talent wicked. That's kind of a harsh word for someone, brother, too. Because he was just playing it safe. Really. That's all he was doing, Marianne. He was just playing it safe. I mean, I've often thought about it. You know, what wicked thing did he actually do? Because he didn't steal it. He didn't gamble it. Or spend it. He didn't spend it on a prostitute. He didn't go buy drugs with it. He gave every penny that he had back. But what this shows is this, that there is more than one way to be wicked. You can be wicked by ignoring the Ten Commandments. And you can be wicked by failing to invest your life for God's kingdom. The first makes you wicked by the sin of commission. The second makes you wicked by the sin of omission. Can I say that one more time? The first makes you wicked by the sin of commission. And the second makes you wicked by the sin of omission. I'm omitting. See, that lets me know that sometimes we don't have to look a part of what we think a sinner looks like. We don't have to act a part to be wicked the way that we think a wicked man is supposed to look like. Sometimes when you walk into the house of God and your soul is impressed to do something in the Holy Ghost and he's trying to call you, he's trying to woo you into his arms and you refuse to go, that's a sign of rebellion. And whether you look like it or not, that is a sign of wickedness. Matthew 25, 31 through 46, and I'll just paraphrase on this one. Basically, it says this, when the Son of Man comes into his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, When did we see you hungry and fed you and thirsty and we gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and we took you in? Or naked and we clothed you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you. And the king will answer and said, assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. I'm going to go ahead and read it. We're this far into it. Then he will say unto those on the left hand, the goats. Everybody say the goats. The goats. He said, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not, do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous in eternal life. The goats are surprised to be rejected by Jesus, who they thought they were faithfully serving. But when it came to pouring themselves out for the crushed people of God, they weren't engaged at all. Now I'm going to do an insert here. It's amazing that we have got these classes called Next Step. Next Step. There is a depth that I desire. And there is something that we want to do. There are hurting people out there. There are people that's walked in this church today that they're on the verge of just breaking loose under the presence of God. I want to be prepared and ready and be sensitive enough, Sister Pierce, when I see somebody hungry, that I feed them. When I see somebody thirsty, that I am there and be willing to want to give them a drink of cold water. I don't dare want to be one of those people that see somebody hungry and turn my back. I don't want to be the one that sees somebody thirsty and I've got myself a cold drink, but yet I don't give them any. God said our place is going to be in the everlasting, the fire, the punishment of everlasting fire. The goats. There is no middle ground. You are either committed to the mission or you're not. You're either all in for Jesus and using your resources for his people and his kingdom, or you're not. You are either a sheep or you're a goat. And that puts the lukewarm Christian in a very peculiar position. We preach about the first a lot, but what about the latter? Have you offered your life and your talents no matter your age? Yeah. Could we look at your giving and say that you are all in with the mission of God? Would your calendar back up what your words say when you declare Jesus is Lord? There's a book called Crazy Love by Francis Chan, and it gives a profile of the lukewarm Christian, and we're fixing to end with this, which you would say comes straight from these parables. These people are all fairly regular in church, but lukewarm Christians don't really want to be saved from their sin. They want only to be saved from the penalty of their sin. God is a useful fire escape they employ, not a God they worship. Lukewarm Christians are moved by stories about people who do radical things for Christ, yet they do not do radical things themselves. They call radical what Jesus expects of all his followers. Lukewarm Christians equate their partially sanitized lives with holiness. But Jesus didn't call us to sanitation. He called us to discipleship. If you are his follower, your life will not be defined only by avoiding sin, but also by entering into his suffering. Lukewarm Christians rarely share their faith with their neighbors, coworkers, or friends. Like Charles Spurgeon said, you are either a missionary or an imposter. Lukewarm Christians think about life on earth much more than they think about eternity in heaven. Lukewarm Christians love their luxuries and rarely give to the poor in a truly sacrificial way. Lukewarm Christians do not live by faith. Their lives are structured so they never have to. David Platt says, if you're not in a place where you feel desperate for the Spirit of God, then there's no way you are on the front lines of the mission. When we are on the front lines, we feel desperately our needs for God's help. Have you ever been at a place in your life that you have tried everything that you can try? And have you ever felt hopelessness? Can I see a raise of hands on that one? Only to find that in truth, when you got connected to the source of His power, you found your answer in Him. And oh, what a feeling it was to find out that He is the only thing that you need. And if you don't live by that feeling right there every day, there is nothing that you can do on your own. You cannot wake up from that bed and get out of that bed by yourself. You cannot stand on your own two feet and expect your muscles and bones to be able to hold you up without God. You cannot take the breath and expect your lungs to be able to expand and go back by themselves. It's God that did it. You cannot expect to get up and brush your own teeth and comb your own hair and take a shower by yourself and be able to do all those things, Brother Kevin, on your own. You can't do that. But God that made you and created you is the one that makes you and allows you to be able to do that. Everything we do is because of Him. There is nothing that I can do on my own. Can somebody say amen? Lukewarm Christians give God their leftovers, not their first and best. Stop calling your complacency and apathy a busy schedule or bills or forgetfulness. Just call it what it is. It's called evil. Is this pretty harsh? Is it okay? We all struggle with seasons where we are lukewarm, where we are striving to maintain a commitment to Christ, but where we falter, we don't recognize. But the fundamental question is this. When you became a Christian, did it include a surrender to get engaged in the relationship of God? Have you personally engaged in the mission of God, offering your time, talent, and treasures as a blank check to Him? Man. God, I'm going to give you this much. How many of you say, God, I'm here. How much time do you need with me? How much time do you want me to spend? What can I do for the church? What can I do for my brother and sister that I know is hurting? How can I help them? God, what do you want me to do? There is no limit. Just tell me. Yeah. I'm going to try to end this because I could go on another 2 hours, y'all. I'm serious. Everybody's saying, don't do that. He also spoke of a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. You don't have to go here. It's Luke 13, 6 through 9, but you don't have to go there if you don't want to. And he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. Then he said to his keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. He didn't ask for him to give him an option of how to save the tree. He said, cut it down. Cut it down. I'm tired of looking at a dead tree that ain't producing nothing.
You have been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.